This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, December 19th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll have an in-depth story from Jeff Bossert on yesterday's announcement that Mattoon will get the Future Gen power plant. Also get a forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Scott Olthoff. First, a look at today's news. If the funding comes through, a low-pollutant power plant that uses Illinois coal will produce electricity in 6 years, and it will happen in Mattoon. The Future Gen Alliance ended a two-year national competition yesterday by awarding Mattoon the $1.8 billion project over Tuscola and two sites in Texas. The Alliance's CEO, Mike Mudd, says Mattoon's bid stood out because it fits the experimental project.
At the end of the day, the final site was selected based on science, a balance between the risks and the benefits, an analysis of the cost, the economic impacts of the bids for each site. It was not based on politics.
The U.S. Department of Energy is cooperating in Future Gen, but it's not happy that the Alliance of Coal and Power Companies announced the site so early. But the head of the site selection process, Lucy Schwartz, is still confident the DOE will give Mattoon its final blessing.
They reviewed the criteria that was used in the record, in the request for proposal. They reviewed the process that we used and the decision that was reached to arrive at the candidate sites, and they have approved the process that the Alliance used in its final site selection.
Schwartz says FutureGen needed three major elements: land, water, and a place deep underground to store greenhouse gases instead of releasing them into the air. She says Mattoon was the best candidate in all of those categories. We'll have much more in Jeff Bossert's in-depth report coming up in a few moments. A proposal to form a special board for the Champaign County Nursing Home has come back to life. A revised version of the plan surfaced at last night's county board meeting, as AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Democrats in the Justice Committee shot down the proposal for a governing board last month when the idea was tied to hiring a consulting firm to help run the nursing home. But County Board Chairman Pius Weibel says this new proposal for an advisory board without the consulting firm leaves major nursing home decisions in the county board's hands. Nursing home administrator Andrew Buffenbarger says the proposed board would have aspects of both a governing and an advisory board. County Board Vice Chair Tom Betts calls the proposal confusing. He says the drive for any sort of nursing home board is an attempt to insulate the county board from politics.
It's trying to pretend that political decisions don't have to get made. They do have to be made. By appointing a board to make those decisions, you don't solve the problem. All you do is shift the problem.
But County Board Republicans say the idea is worth considering. They've been more supportive of some sort of nursing home board, especially one with real governing power. The County Board Justice Committee could take up the nursing home board proposal at its January 7th meeting. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The next time the County Board Justice Committee meets, it'll have a new member. Republican Alan Nudo was sworn in as the new county board member from District 3. He replaces Scott Tapley, who's moved to Indiana. Nudo will take Tapley's seat on the Justice Committee, but he declined an invitation to serve as its vice chairman. Champaign is asking homeowners to pay more for the city's share of property tax. The city council has voted to increase the tax levy. That means the property tax rate will increase about 3 cents. Paired with projected rises in property assessments, the average city tax bill for a $150,000 home will go up about $47 in Champaign. Mayor Jerry Schweihart says a statewide solution is needed to lighten the burden on property owners.
I think we're seriously going to have to look at some things because people are really getting stretched on the property tax thing. We only get a small piece of it, like 17%, but everybody in the pie is increasing it. Well, it's a big hit for the property owners in there. But I don't think we're going to correct it until the state comes up with some idea how to fund education other than through property tax.
The city council also voted to increase downtown parking rates last night. In the heart of downtown, parking will cost about 75 cents an hour. The city encourages people to park at the fringes of downtown, where parking rates will be as low as 25 cents. The higher meter rate is expected to kick in by the end of January, and the city will extend the hours of parking enforcement to 9 o'clock weekday nights starting July 1st. A judge in Edgar County has denied bail for a man convicted in a 1986 murder, but was granted a new trial by an appellate court. Prosecutors have until February 22nd to decide whether to retry Herb Whitlock for the 1986 stabbing death of Karen Rhodes. She and her husband, Dyke Rhodes, were killed in their home in Paris, Illinois. In denying bail for Whitlock yesterday, Judge James Glenn set a tentative trial date of January 22nd and a status hearing January 8th. Whitlock's attorney, Richard Kling, hopes prosecutors don't wait that long to consider dropping the case, since the other man convicted, Randy Steidel, was freed more than 4 years ago.
He should be home for Christmas, realistically. He has a new trial. They have to make a decision whether to try him. The right decision, in my opinion, would be to dismiss the case, which is what ended up happening with Randy Steidel. And he should be home for Christmas with his family. That's not going to happen for the 21st year in his life. Hopefully it'll happen in January.
The appellate court decided Whitlock should get a new trial because his defense counsel wasn't effective and jurors never heard key evidence that might have led to his acquittal. Illinois Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn says it's been months since he spoke with Governor Rob Blagojevich. Susie Ahn looks into how typical that is.
Quinn says it's hard to remember the last time he actually talked to the governor.
I don't know. I went to a bill signing and I spoke to him with, that would be dam safety. That would have been about June or so.
Quinn's spokeswoman says he's tried to set up a meeting with Blagojevich, but hasn't heard back. Mike Lawrence is director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at Southern Illinois University. Lawrence says this lack of communication is unprofessional.
I don't think it's unusual for a governor and a lieutenant governor to have public differences, but it is extraordinary for there to be the lack of communication that Lieutenant Governor Quinn is suggesting.
A spokeswoman for Blagojevich says the governor's been busy working with legislators to find a funding solution for transit and state the time to respond. I'm Susie Ahn.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. After 2 years of waiting, residents of Mattoon have reason to celebrate. Those behind the coal-fired power plant known as FutureGen announced yesterday that they've chosen to locate in Mattoon. While residents and local leaders there are excited, there's still concern as to whether the federal dollars will come through to fund it. AM 580's Jeff Bossert reports.
The Alliance intends to select Mattoon, Illinois, to host the FutureGen project.
In a Washington press conference carried on the internet, FutureGen Alliance CEO Mike Mudd announced that the Central Illinois community would be home to the $1.8 billion coal-burning facility. Mudd says final selection over Tuscola and two cities in Texas was based on factors like science, cost analysis, and analyzing risks versus benefits, not politics. Several hundred acres northwest of Mattoon will be used for the plant, which will use two techniques, coal gasification, an alternative to burning coal, and coal sequestration, or storing plant emissions underground. At Mattoon's Time Theater, more than 100 residents were joined by local and state leaders celebrating the news of landing the FutureGen plant. Governor Rob Blagojevich says it's time the state took advantage of its coal reserves while having the technology to clean high-sulfur content coal and boost the economy in an ecological way.
We are fighting for a clean environment, using our natural resources in a way so that we can fuel our economy, create jobs, but be sensitive to the air that we breathe and the quality of the water that we drink.
Angela Griffin is the CEO of Coals Together, an economic development group that headed up the effort to lure FutureGen.
We knew all along that we had what they were looking for. We knew that there was value and merit to this program, that FutureGen really is going to change the world, and we had a responsibility, especially if we have that geology, to make it available for a project like this.
When coal emissions are pumped underground, the carbon dioxide stays where it is. But it's a new concept being discussed on a wide scale, and Robert Findlay with the Illinois State Geological Survey says since this field is young, state and federal officials have to write the rules as they go along.
So FutureGen will be just one part of a whole national scenario in which permitting these wells and the safety and effectiveness of these wells will be assured based on those new regulations.
Another question mark revolves around the funding of the facility. While the FutureGen Alliance gets some of its money from coal and electric companies, the greatest portion of the plant relies on federal dollars that have yet to be secured. There has been criticism from the Energy Department that the cost of the plant is spiraling out of control. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin understands those worries.
Of course, there's a concern as to whether this figure is becoming unmanageable. And that's why we have to come to grips with it quickly. If this means sitting down with the alliance and working out some new arrangement, I hope we can do that. But I'm not naive here.
Durbin also hopes the utility and coal industries put more money into the project. Back in Mattoon, people are still upbeat about getting FutureGen. It's expected to generate 1,300 construction jobs, along with 150 permanent ones. And an economic impact study conducted by Southern Illinois University shows that about 1,200 spinoff jobs could locate in the area as well. Charleston resident Jerry Myerscough says both Mattoon and Tuscola stand to benefit in that way.
This area has just been so depressed. We've lost so many factories, so many jobs, that this coming in has really excited the whole communities. Both communities, and I think it helped both communities kind of pull together to get this thing done.
Meanwhile, there was a subdued reaction at Tuscola's community building when the Mattoon site was announced. Mayor Dan Kleiss says not getting the plant was disappointing, particularly for his local team that worked hard to lure it to town.
However, being only 24 miles from Tuscola, the siting, for this project, it's still going to be very important for us to continue to work together with the city of Mattoon and Coles County. So it's important for this to be a good project because we may be the site of the next one.
As for the big prize in this go-around, construction on the FutureGen plant is scheduled to start in 2010, with operations scheduled to start in the year 2013. I'm Jeff Bosser, AM 580 News.
Meteorologist Scott Oltaugh's forecast calls for mainly sunny skies today, partly to mostly sunny throughout the two states, with highs ranging from 32 in northern Indiana to 50 in the far south, 40 in Champaign-Urbana, with southwest winds at around 5 to 10 miles an hour. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows 20 north to 34 south, 25 in the Champaign-Urbana area. And for tomorrow, in northern and central sections, mostly cloudy with some areas of drizzle. We'll see some sun in the morning in the Champaign-Urbana area, followed by increasing cloudiness. In southern sections, some light rain showers and highs ranging from 35 north to 50 south. Champaign-Urbana's high 43. Looking ahead, Friday, cloudy with a chance of occasional drizzle again, maybe some freezing drizzle the night before, the high Friday 46. Saturday, rain likely with a high of 45. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, December 19th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.